Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the GNSO Review Working Group call taking place on Tuesday, the 25th of October, 2016. On the call today, we have Jen Wolf, Donna Austin, Lauren Tawali, Rafik Damek, Sarah Baki, and Akono Basco. Joining us a little later in the call will be Wolf Ulrich Melvin. We have no list of apologies for today's meeting. From staff, we have Julie Hedman, Marika Koenig, Molly Kaufman, Barry Cobb, and myself, Carrie Agnew. Also just joining us is Heath Dixon. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to Jen Wolf. Please begin.
Thank you, and thank you to all of you who have taken the time to participate in the call this morning, this afternoon, wherever you may be. We certainly appreciate it. I know for many involved in this working group, they may or may not be able to participate in the call, but they do go and listen to the recordings, read the transcripts, and respond on list. So I want to go ahead and move us forward, particularly with the time frame that we have in which to complete our work. So just to briefly follow our agenda items, are there any changes to the statements of interest for anyone on the phone call? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. So as you can see, our agenda for today, we want to start with just a call out again for anyone who might want to volunteer as vice chair. We'd like to then move on to talk about everyone's review of the straw man draft now that we've all had a week to read through it and provide some comments. We'd like to talk about the batching, which is an important piece of our work here, is to take these recommendations, these 30-plus recommendations, and group them into batches that we think are reasonable to tackle, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months. And then we'll talk about our next steps, timing, and our next meeting. So with that as our agenda, I'd like to start again with just a call for a vice chair. If there's anyone on the call or if there's anyone on the list who would like to volunteer, we are still looking for a vice chair to assist in the event that I'm not able to participate or just that we need additional assistance in moving the leadership forward. Is there anyone on the call who's interested in volunteering or any other comments about someone volunteering as vice chair? Okay, seeing none, we'll just, Lawrence, please go ahead. Thank you. Lawrence, I can't hear you. Are you on? No.
And Jen,
okay.
He's unmuted now. You should be able to hear him. Lawrence, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, great. Thanks. Sorry. This is Lawrence for the record. I have proposed in one of our earlier meetings, that Wolf Ulrich stand in as a co-chair one of our meetings, and I still want to put forward this position. I know what we're looking at is a vice chair position. But I feel that having a balance, so to say, for both houses is one of the reasons why I had put forward his person. Aside from the fact that our working group have co-chairs. The fact that there will be a balance from both houses where we have, I'm talking about the commercial and the non-commercial, and which will suit us perfectly. In other words, if we were to adopt the co-chair structure, we will have a situation in our hands where we have. We have a very good balance on both houses. Gender-wise, also, we will have a great balance. And I think that if, or rather my suggestion is, if Wolf Orrick is not, if he's not, if he is not desirous of stepping in to this position, then we might look further to see if there is anyone who might want to step in as a vice chair to our Amiibo chair, who is already doing a great job. This is not to say that we are not good as we are, but for the sake of balance on from both houses, and also I believe that having someone also share the third in case any of the two leaders are unavailable at a particular point in time, we could also have a balance in terms of leadership. Aside from unavailability of any leader, I appreciate the fact that it is a voluntary role, and we might not be able to, our leaders might not be able to be at each and every call. There's also appreciable work that might need to be done behind the scenes aside from the calls. And so if we have co-chairs from, particularly from the different, representing the diversity of the GNSO, there are some work and some decisions that could go, that could be, that may be done in collaboration with the staff. And, you know, when we now have a call, such things, I mean, such decisions can then be looked in further by the entire team. So my proposal in this light is just to see that, one, there is a balance, two, that, you know, both houses, I mean, the diversity that is GNSO is well represented in our leadership structure, and three, the fact that there might be some decisions that, I mean, some work that might have to be done off list, you know, aside from the calls. And if we have such a leadership structure in place, this might help with making some of these decisions and, you know, getting some of this work done before we have our calls. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. And Wolf Ulrich is not here to accept that very kind and nice nomination, but I think his name has been brought up before, so perhaps we can persuade him when he gets on the call. Any other comments or suggestions or volunteers for vice chair? Okay, seeing none, we'll talk to Wolf Ulrich when he joins the call about that. Let's move on to discuss the straw man draft of the implementation plan for the GNSO review recommendations. I know in our last call it had just been presented, and so many may not have had the opportunity to review the document in detail. So I'd like to start by just asking for any general feedback before we talk specifically about batching of the recommendations. I know that was one of my first comments, was looking at the way it was structured, I felt like we could take a basic approach to grouping the recommendations based upon there was work that was already being done, and then work that had been prioritized by the working party, and then all of the other recommendations. But I want to start by just asking for general feedback to the plan. Are there any general comments that anyone would like to make or provide to staff at this time? Seeing none. Okay, why don't we move into then talking about batching, because I think that's a really important piece to how we organize the document. What we had talked about, and I don't know, Julie, if you're trying to pull up that section of the document that deals with batching. What we're looking to do is create essentially three segments that would occur over the next 12 to 18 months, where we recommend that we take groupings of the recommendations and we batch them so that the workload is manageable for our volunteer base to be able to take those and then create the more detailed implementation plan. And so as I had looked at these, we had a couple different ways that we could look at these. As you can see what's on screen right now, there were three general categories of recommendations. You'll see the blue category are those that deal with PDP improvements, effectiveness, implementation, and so on. There are those coded brown, which deal with the GNSO Council, stakeholder groups, membership, and so on. and then those in the magenta color, which deal with working group performance. But we also have some other categorization that I think could be helpful as we look at just the batching piece of this. And that is, we had some recommendations from the independent examiner where we identified previously that work was already being done somewhere in the GNSO. So in my mind, that seems like a very logical place to start, because if there's work that's already being done, it may be a matter of simply identifying some mechanism to have some accountability for that work that's already being done, because we know it's already happening somewhere within the GNSO. And then secondly, we could look at the recommendations that were prioritized as high, meaning everyone in the working party and then ultimately endorsed by council and the OEC felt like those recommendations are very important to the GNSO. And so I think our second batch could be to really focus on those recommendations. And then finally, our third batch would be the recommendations that came after that, those that were medium or low priority. So I want to start with just this general concept, because how we organize this will be important in how we dig through each of these recommendations and creating the implementation plan. Are there any comments or feedback on that idea of an approach to batching? And Julie, I don't know if you have there was a slide or a piece where there was the batching, the timeline that was set up, kind of had arrows going across it. If we could pull that up just so everyone can conceptualize what we're talking about. There, that was it. So this is what we're talking about. First batch is January 2017 to December 2017. Second batch starts June 2017, runs to May 2018. Third batch starts October 2017, runs to 2018. So I'll pause and ask for thoughts, feedback on this approach to grouping our work. And Marika in the chat is making a note that for work that's already underway, she uses the example of recommendation 8. There's already a working group doing some of this, so it may just require us to confirm that the implementation of those recommendations meet the objective of the GNSO recommendation. So that's when we talk about the first batch being low-hanging fruit. It may not take that much work for us to complete that first batch, which is why we're talking about putting that in the first batch. Donna, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Donna Austin. I guess it's just something that strikes me about the timeline. You know, September 2018 is pushing out, but I understand that, you know, one of the challenges for this will probably be getting the volunteers necessary to do the work. But I just wondered, you know, when, Julie, I assume you put this timeline together, what was the consideration in identifying the timeframes? Thanks. And I support the batching comment. I think it makes a lot of sense. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And Julie, did you want to respond on the timing proposal?
Yeah, I should be more clear. And it does actually note this in the document here. It's a placeholder timeline. The timeline will definitely have to be refined once we you know, scope out the batches. I mean, at the point that staff put in this timeline, you know, we hadn't discussed batching. We hadn't discussed, you know, what to start with. If the first batch is indeed, then the ones that are the work that's already underway, then I would think that overlap between first batch and second batch would be, you know, there would be much more overlap, and that the second batch could indeed start, I would think, perhaps even at the same time as the first batch. Or once we, you know, look at the dependencies, and that would be another key indicator with the work that's underway and those in the second batch and those in the third batch, we might find that there might be some things that might have to be, you know, that we might have to ensure are completed in the work that's underway, you know, perhaps before we started some things in the second batch. And so that's part of, I know what staff can help do is look at those dependencies and then, you know, come up with a more refined timeline where, again, as I know, I think there's going to be much more overlap between first and second batch, and it will be a much more precise timeline. This is really just sort of a sample. I think we'd have more discrete dates and dates for deliverables identified, that sort of thing.
Thanks, Julie. And Donna, was that a new hand up? I think it was. No? Okay. No, Julie, I think you're absolutely right. I think that if we batch these such that we're taking the low-hanging fruit of work already underway, we may be able to dispense with that within the first 3 months of 2017 and then immediately move into our second batch. I would suspect that the second batch is probably the piece that would take the most amount of time because we would be dealing with high-priority items where the work is not being done, and it would likely require some more time for us to really build out an effective implementation plan. So thank you for reminding us of that, that this is just a placeholder. I think that if everyone is in agreement with that approach, you know, perhaps we could look at this and say the first batch should be dispensed with by the end of Q1 2017. We would immediately move into the second batch, and then that could address Donna's concern that we've pushed this out to September of 2018. That might allow us to move everything a bit faster. Any other comments on the batching approach that we're discussing and taking this general approach to work already being done, priority, high priority work, and then the medium and low priority recommendations? If there's no objection to that, then I would suggest we use our time to go ahead and start talking about preparing the details in our implementation plan, looking at the work that's already being done. And Julie, if you could pull that piece up when we move into the there's another piece of that document where we move into, I think you already had some of it grouped in terms of work already being done, and we could start talking through that piece. Get that pulled up here in a minute, and I think we could start talking through the dependencies and any other information that we need to start completing the implementation plan for this phase one. I'm not seeing anything on screen. Are we having a Adobe Connect issue? Julie?
Yeah, I have it up on screen, so that is odd.
Is it just
and
me?
I seem to still be in Adobe Connect. Is anybody else seeing it?
Is anyone else
is
seeing?
Terry, I confirm I can see Julie, the middle of the screen that you've put up.
So maybe I'm just having a problem.
I see, and Marika is also seeing it as well.
Okay.
You may need to log in again, Jen. It's possible that you lost your connection or there's some issue with your connection.
Okay. I will work on logging again. I am assuming I've got the hard copy document in front of me. Are we on the 5.1 work already underway, recommendation 8?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So why don't we start with that and this recommendation is that working groups should have an explicit role in responding to implementation issues related to policy they've developed. This was there is work already being done, and I might ask if Marika is on the phone, if she could, while I re-log in here, could you explain how the work is already being done, and then we could talk through dependencies and thoughts on the implementation? Or Julie, or whomever might be able to do that, and I'll get re-logged in to try to get my screen fixed.
Yes, Marika, apologies. It took me a second to get off mute. In relation to this specific one, so recommendation 8 noted that working groups should have an explicit role in responding to implementation issues related to policy they have developed. There, the Gene Server Review Working Party already identified that a specific working group at that time, that the Policy Implementation Working Group, was already working on that issue. In the meantime, that working group has actually completed its work, and one of the outcomes of that work was that it is now required to form an implementation review team that will work with ICANN staff on the implementation, and in that way is in a position to address any implementation-related issues that are flagged as part of the implementation process. The implementation review team is open, in principle, for anyone interested, but it specifically targets the working group that was involved in developing the original policy recommendations. So on that basis, the working group would need to assess, does that meet the intent of the original recommendation of the GMSO review working group? And if so, this may be one of those recommendations that can already be considered completed. And it may be sufficient just to point out what indeed the recommendations of the policy and implementation working group mean in practice, and how the working group believes that fulfills the recommendation of the independent examiner.
Thanks, Marika. So any comments? This will be interesting as we start to tackle these where the work is already being done by another group working group. Any comments from our working group on how we move that implementation plan forward if work is already being done? Is it simply a matter of saying the work is already being done? Yes, Donna, please go ahead.
I guess, Jen, the question for me is, do we need to do any the working group that's put together to implement these recommendations, do they need to review this to make sure that what has been done is, kind of like a tick-the-box exercise so that they can confirm that it's on the right track or it's, implemented fully?
That's a great point. Right. So perhaps there's if we create a sub-working groups for each batch, that for this particular batch that is dealing with work underway, it is sort of a checks and balances of to ensure as they complete their work, does it match up to what was recommended and follow up on that in some way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think because it's a recommendation from this review, from the GNSO review, that there should be an obligation for the implementation working group just to tick a box that it has been done.
Okay.
And that they're okay with the way that it's been done.
Okay. Excellent. Any other comments on this particular recommendation? Okay. Why don't we move on to the next recommendation in this batch, which is recommendation 15, which was the independent examiner's final recommendation was that the GNSO continues current PDP improvements project initiatives to address timeliness of the PDP. This was prioritized as high. What we had noted was that this was work that was already being done. Again, Marika, do you just want to give us a quick update on how that work is being done?
Yes, this is Marika. So basically, this is another project that was recently considered complete. And in this case, it may be helpful if we share the kind of final status update that we provided to the council, which still had, a couple of small recommendations linked to it, which staff is in the process of implementing. Some innovations were introduced there in relation to the timeliness of the PDP, or basically providing the ability to the council to speed up certain parts of the policy development process. So, again, I think it's something where this group may need to review whether you believe that is sufficiently meets the recommendation of the independent examiner, or whether further work would need to be undertaken. And in this case, as that specific project has already completed, it would obviously require separate work in order to do so. Again, I think some other things that may be worth pointing out here is that as part of also, for example, the policy implementation working group, a number of new processes were created that, again, give the GNSO Council additional abilities to follow certain processes that may be quicker than a PDP if the circumstances warrant it. So there's also other projects that may have influenced or addressed some of the objectives of this specific recommendation. So I think it's something where maybe staff can put some of that information together, so it will then allow the working group to review whether you believe indeed that it's sufficient to meet the objective of this recommendation or whether there's still something that additional that should be considered or undertaken.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments from the group on this particular recommendation? And I see Wolf Ulrich, you have now joined. Welcome. We are now working through the recommendations where work is already underway somewhere in the GNSO and just discussing how those recommendations might be implemented. And I think just as a note to staff, I know they are going to be helping us, you know, in between our meetings to keep the document moving forward. I think to the extent we can add some of those details to these recommendations as batch one, that would certainly be helpful. And I think what we've talked about here in our call is that these recommendations where work is already underway, our primary initiative will be to, as Donna used the term, check the box, ensure that the work that has been done or is being done fulfills the recommendation. Seeing no other comments, why don't we move on to recommendation 16, which states that a policy impact assessment be included as a standard part of any policy process. It was prioritized as high. The working party, as we worked through these recommendations, determined that this was already in the PDP manual, that we have no analytical framework to do this, so what is being measured? What we had talked about was perhaps we need to create a more analytical framework for assessing policy impacts and determine what should be measured and corresponding metrics. So in terms of work that's already being done, the GNSO Council, as the manager of the policy development process, oversees this ongoing effort. It's also featured in the final report of the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group. So if Marika, if you want to add anything to that, you know, certainly welcome your comments on that and then welcome comments from the group on how we implement this particular recommendation where there is work that's already done in some way.
Yes, this is Marika, and I actually see Barry on the call. He may actually be in a better position to speak to the data and metrics for policymaking working group final report, which is also a report that was already adopted by the GNSO Council and is in the process of being implemented. It may address, Barry's saying he's not dialed in, so hopefully he will type something. But again, we can pull out some of the aspects of that report that may be relevant in this regard. As already noted, you know, the mention of an impact assessment is already part of the policy development process manual. But indeed, there's no specific guidance around that. It's more a recommendation to the working group that as part of its work, it also assesses the impact or expected impact of the recommendation. So, again, we may need to look closer at the DMPM final report to see how that meets the requirement of this one so the working group can review, indeed, whether that's sufficient or whether other work is needed.
Thanks, Marika. And I know Barry Cobb in the chat had says he's not dialed in, but that there is a placeholder for impact as part of the key performance indicators dashboard. Any other comments on this recommendation? And I think it will be helpful if we have some of this additional information put in by staff and we can look at it further. Barry's also saying can use assistance to develop what the analytical framework should look like. Any comments from this group on what the analytical framework would look like in terms of the impact of the policy, if we are to measure that in some way? Seeing none, that's an important question, and perhaps, Julie, as we recirculate this document, to perhaps highlight that in this particular recommendation to give everyone some time to think about it. But I think that is probably where we can have, you know, the most influence on this particular recommendation is defining how is impact analyzed, how is it measured, so that we can determine has the policy had the impact intended. I think that's where we probably have some work to do here on this recommendation. Okay. Well, in the interest of time, let's keep moving on, and as this document continues to evolve, we can certainly, you know, recirculate and rediscuss these issues. If we move on to recommendation 18, this was the independent examiner's recommendation was that the GNSO Council evaluate post-implementation policy effectiveness on an ongoing basis rather than periodically as stated in current operating procedures, and that these evaluations are analyzed by the GNSO Council to monitor and improve the drafting and scope of future PDP charters and facilitate the effectiveness of GNSO policy outcomes over time. It was defined as high. Some of the comments that we had in the working party was that, you know, we need to define this at the start of implementation, what the assessment period would be and how it's established. And there were questions about how the GNSO Council would evaluate implemented policies. Again, this relates to the last recommendation as well, but questions about how does it align with the data and metrics for policymaking working group outputs. So Chuck Gomes also had the comments that we might change the PDP guidelines to make post-implementation policy effectiveness evaluation an ongoing rather than periodic process, and that we also develop guidelines for how implementation of policies should be evaluated. So obviously you can see this is where the color coding of blue, these very much relate to one another. I don't know if staff, if Marika, if you want to jump in on anything that you think is currently being done to address this, so that as we look at these two recommendations in tandem, we're fully aware of other work being done. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think you summed it up quite well, what indeed is already in place, because, I mean, there is a specific provision that deals with that in the PDP manual. But indeed, there's no other standardized process that's currently being used. You know, what may be of interest here, we've had some recent experience that the different approaches that have been taken, for example, to reviewing some of the policies after they've been implemented, and some may be more successful than others, and maybe there's an opportunity there to look at those and see if it is possible to have a kind of standardized approach as well as a timeline for when and how policies after implementation should be reviewed. And again, you know, in this case, it may not be possible to have a one-size-fits-all because it may depend on the nature or extensiveness of a policy recommendation, but maybe having some kind of framework similar to what was done for the implementation phase, which again is work that has already been undertaken, may serve as a model to facilitate the discussion and work in relation to this specific recommendation.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments from the group on this recommendation or the general concept of defining, you know, how things are analyzed, what metrics are put in place? Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to recommendation 10, which deals more with the formation of working groups. And on this one, the independent examiner's recommendation was that the GNSO Council develop criteria for working groups to engage a professional facilitator in certain situations. It was prioritized as medium. Some of the comments that we had during the process of the review was, what does it mean to engage? Is this costly? You know, and obviously that there was an existing pilot that was already underway. And so to a certain extent, I think this one certainly we would want to look to the outcome of the pilot. And I'm not sure, Marika, you can probably tell us what the outcome of that pilot was. Please go ahead.
So this is Marika. So actually the assessment of the pilot, I have to clarify here that the pilot itself was a combination of face-to-face time with or without moderators. So in certain cases, a moderator was involved. In other cases, it was the working group chair running the meeting. So it was a bit of a combination of that. But especially in relation to the face-to-face aspect, that was deemed as you know, very successful and helpful to the progress that the policy development process working groups can make. So that is something that actually has already moved into a standard feature that council has the possibility to recommend for each ICANN meeting to have a PDP working group either meet the day before or after. There's some very limited funding available to implement that aspect. And it also, in principle, foresees that a moderator could be involved. As part, actually, of the implementation of the PDP improvements project, one of the specific recommendations that staff still has on its to-do list is come up with a list of guidelines or rules around how the selection and rollout of those face-to-face meetings, including the use of a moderator, should take place. So that's actually work that's already in progress. And once staff has produced that, it will actually go back to the GNSO Council for review and approval. But as it's also on the plate of this effort, it may make more sense to first pass it through this group. And if you believe indeed it aligns with the specific recommendation, but then it could go as well with your kind of seal of approval to the Council for their consideration.
Thanks, Marika. So it sounds like one of the other dependencies on this could be, is there a budget to engage facilitators? Am I understanding it correctly that that wasn't part of the pilot, determining if there was a budget?
No. I mean, there is a budget available, and I think it also foresees that a moderator could be engaged. But again, speaking here from personal experience, based on the evaluation we did on some of the face-to-face meetings, those with a moderator and those without, I think some did question the value of having an external moderator not familiar or not having the same in-depth knowledge of the subject matter that's on the discussion to be really successful. So again, it may be more on a case-by-case basis where indeed maybe some criteria can be established in which circumstances it's deemed helpful to have an external moderator, or whether there may be possibilities to see is there a pool of more inside moderators, people that know ICANN well, know as well some of the subject matter experience, and therefore maybe more successful in forging consensus or bringing people together. But that was one of the feedback or one of the issues we experienced, that having a completely external moderator didn't really result in I think the steps forward that we had originally anticipated. But having said that, I think the pilot does foresee the option to engage a moderator, but of course it's part of a budget envelope. So it's again for the council then as well to make the kind of assessment. What is most important in supporting a group? Is it indeed bringing in an external moderator? Is it to provide additional time? So again, I think it's part, but it's part of an overall evaluation of what is most deemed most useful for a certain working group to move forward in its work.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I think that's helpful to understand the outcome of that pilot. I guess I would ask for comments as we look at this recommendation. The recommendation as it was adopted is to develop criteria, not necessarily to say that they should always be used or should sometimes be used, but to develop criteria. So it sounds like there is actually a little more work to do on this recommendation in terms of an implementation plan for us to really look at how that would be done. And I know, Pascal, he's a question in the chat of can we have bracket examples. Yes, I think that's an excellent idea that we would have certain examples of where perhaps a professional moderator might be helpful, or perhaps in some ways it's just a professional facilitator that then works with chairs or co-chairs who might have more substantive knowledge. But that a professional facilitator may be able to help move things along a little bit faster. Any other comments? I see Marika saying there's an evaluation document that we could include here, so that would be helpful. Did I hear someone else want to speak up? Please go ahead.
Yes, Wolf Ulrich speaking. Can you hear me?
Hi, Wolf Ulrich. How are you? Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks. I'm just on the car. Sorry. It came to my mind, the question for me is here, the first is, well, did I understand that correctly? It is about facilitators on working group level.
That's right. The recommendation is to develop criteria for when that would be used.
Yes. So it is more or less up to the working group to decide or to come up with that question in case they, you know, they've been confronted with a situation where they don't find a way out or so because of, well, different opinions or what else, you know. So that is up to the working group. And the process, is that described, how to deal with that, or is it just, I just want to understand, you know, with regards to the pilot we had. Is it just about, you know, to find out situations where it could happen that a facilitator should be engaged, or is it also about, you know, the formalities about that?
So the recommendation just states that to develop criteria, and it states that the GNSO Council should develop criteria. So I think our question is, okay, if that recommendation is to be implemented, what needs to happen? You know, is it that this is work to be done by council? Can we make a recommendation that, you know, it's left to the discretion, as you suggest, perhaps it is left to the discretion of the working group? If they determine this is a very, say, controversial issue and assistance may be helpful, then they can request it. I think that's certainly an interesting, you know, recommendation that we could make to council in developing criteria.
Okay, so that's my understanding. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments on this one? Certainly, if anyone else has comments, I feel like this is one where this is where we could really add a little more to the discussion as we look at an implementation plan. Any other comments? Okay, well, I think as Marika has suggested, that we can have some of that additional information circulated, and as we continue our work, we can come back and incorporate that information. Okay, let's go ahead and move on then to recommendation 33. This was the final recommendation reads, the stakeholder groups, constituencies, and the nominating committee in selecting their candidates for appointment to the GNSO Council should aim to increase the geographic, gender, and cultural diversity of its participants as defined in ICANN core value number 4. This was prioritized as medium. We had commented during that process that we thought this work was really already being done, but perhaps we needed to better improve the metrics of what was done. And right now what we determined was each stakeholder group and constituency essentially holds itself accountable, but there's assistance provided by staff. I don't know, and perhaps Marika or Julie, you can help us. I think we are tracking that information. Are we not tracking that information right now? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I don't believe the information as such is tracked. I mean, it is covered or captured as part of statement of interest that people provide, but I don't think there's any kind of, you know, tally that's done at the end of the day. You know, I do know that the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, I think most, if not all, have specific requirements in their charters that need to ensure geographic diversity, for example, when they select council members, although in certain cases there are exceptions possible in those cases where, you know, they're not able to identify suitable candidates from a certain region, because, you know, in certain cases, of course, membership of stakeholder groups and constituencies is limited, you know, by the nature of their membership, and especially thinking, for example, of you know, contracted parties. There's a certain barrier that's in place, which means that not just anyone can you know, sign up for those groups. But something that's worth here, maybe also looking at, because I believe this is also something that's being looked at from a broader perspective. I think the accountability working group also made recommendations in relation to diversity, and I think there's some work that's ongoing in that regard, because, of course, there's also the question, indeed, you know, how do you, you know, what is diverse? In certain cases, you know, certainly value diversity based on, you know, diversity of skills, not necessarily gender or geographic regions. For other groups, it may be different. So, again, it's, I think there's already a broader conversation going on in relation to this topic as well. So there may be a need for the working group also to look at that work in addition to seeing what is in place in relation to the GMSO per se. And what does happen in a working group context is that there is an assessment indeed, and there diversity is more viewed as, is there diverse enough representation from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, but there's no kind of tracking or you know, assessment. You know, do we have enough people from this region, or are there enough, you know, females on this group? That doesn't happen as far as I'm aware.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments from the group then as we look to implement this recommendation of tracking diversity? Any comments on how diversity is defined and or how the various groups are held accountable for tracking and reporting on diversity? Any comments? I think certainly defining diversity, I mean, obviously we have some definition here, geographic region, gender, diversity is fairly clearly defined. If there are other components of diversity. Oh, I'm sorry, Donna, I just saw your hand go up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, and thanks, Jen. I think I was going to say something consistent with what you're saying. I mean, this is a tricky one. Diversity is a, it's a good goal, but it shouldn't get in the way of practicality. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, what's the real aim of making sure that you do have diversity of participants? I mean, I understand it's not, we don't want everybody to be from the same region, you know, but we just need to be a little bit careful with how we go about this because, you know, diversity is a good goal to have, but as Marika's explained, you know, sometimes it just isn't practical in some of the groups, so we need to balance that as well.
Thanks, Donna. Is this something that we think we would push back to each group to define for themselves what diversity goals they would strive to achieve so that they could, as Marika said, in the contracted parties, to participate you have to be part of a contracted party. So that may, you know, limit the pool of people from which to choose, you know, or there may be other constraints. Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. One of the things that always strikes me about, you know, when you put working groups together, one of the first regions that fall off is Asia Pacific, specifically because of the time zones and the challenges of getting people to, you know, the balance of the calls always go towards North America and in Europe friendly time zones. So I don't know how we can incorporate something in here about, you know, time zone rotation, because I think, you know, that's one of the first challenges that any group faces is trying to organize the rotation of times for calls to make sure that you do have continual engagement from everyone within the group, not just, you know, probably something that amounts to two-thirds or, you know, slightly more of the group.
Thanks, Donna. And yes, I think we all, you're absolutely right. And we all know when the time zone is not convenient for us, it becomes challenging to participate. So if it was continually a challenge, it becomes more difficult to participate. I think that's an excellent point. Julie, see your hands up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just note, and I'll capture it in the notes here too. And you know, some of this I, you know, didn't capture initially just because the way I worked through this so quickly, I do need to circle back on some of the dependencies. There are other recommendations, not in the work underway recommendations, but in some of the ones that are in the high priority recommendations, you know, that have been agreed to that relate directly to outreach, outreach as it relates to, say, translations, to rotating time zones. There's several recommendations coming up that are tied together in that way. So it might be that this particular item is one that could this recommendation, we might have to note, is tied to, you know, X, Y, and Z other recommendations. And so that may be a dependency in that it might be that this item may not be able to be completed as work underway, or we may want to combine it with others, you know, that are in the sort of the agreed to but not underway section, just because of those dependencies.
Thanks, Julie. I think that could be helpful, that maybe let's extract this one from this section, because it sounds like it's going to need a little more work. I think that would be helpful. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and I know I have another call at the top of the hour, as I'm sure many of you do too. Why don't we try to talk through one more recommendation, and then we can just discuss our next steps and recap where we are and how we're going to continue to move forward. Let's go ahead and hit recommendation 11. Looking at this, it might be, and actually these next two might be relatively easy to address. This one states that the face-to-face PDP working group pilot project be assessed when completed. If the results are beneficial, guidelines should be developed and support funding made available. Marika, this is the same PDP working group pilot you were discussing previously. Is that correct?
Yes, this is Marika. And again, here it may make sense to link those two together, because at least from the pilot, those were both part of you know, the same pilot project. And my understanding or our expectation is as well that for the guidelines that are being developed, that also will be considered together. So maybe it makes sense to just put those together.
No, I agree. I think any of these that relate to the PDP working group pilot, why don't we circle back and we'll just look at those together, because I think it could end up and be relatively easy to dispense with those as, you know, proceed with the recommendations from that pilot project. Let's just go ahead and hit 14 here, too. It's very similar, that the GNSO further explores PDP chunking and examines each potential PDP as to its feasibility for breaking into discrete stages. I think the general comment was that this is already somewhat being done by the GNSO Council as PDPs are approved. Is there any other comments on this particular one? This one could be just a checking the box that is what is continuing to happen. Any other comments on this particular recommendation?
Yeah, it isn't Rika. For some reason, I'm not able to raise my hand. But just to note as well, I think this is one as well where, you know, the working group would say, like, nothing prevents the council or working groups from doing so, as the PDP manual and guidelines provide a lot of flexibility in relation to how work is done. So maybe it's something as well just to emphasize that there's currently nothing preventing this from happening, and it's really something where, indeed, maybe it's something where, you know, the working group just encourages, you know, the council to give due consideration to you know, breaking up pieces of work. But, you know, as you already mentioned, I think in several of the recent PDPs, this is actually already happening. You know, RPNs, they are, in, I think, working in two phases. The RDS PDP actually even has three phases. I know that the new GTLD PDP is working through a number of I think, sub-teams or tracks, they're called. So I think, especially with PDPs getting kind of bigger in scope and in nature, there's a, I think, a natural tendency to try and carve that up in more discrete pieces. And again, nothing in the current rules or guidelines prevent that from happening.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. That's helpful. Yeah, I felt that way too, that one was just seemingly is already being done. We've only got a few more minutes to the top of the hour, so I think we should stop and just talk about what our next steps are in our calendar. I would ask for staff, I know we're going to have a two-week bye here with the ICANN meeting coming up, where people are traveling next Tuesday, November 1st, and the meeting is continuing through November 8th. So our next scheduled phone call is on Tuesday, the 15th of November. In between those calls, you know, certainly would like to see that we can continue to restructure this document, put in some additional pieces of information, as we've talked about, try to reorganize these recommendations to be right next to each other if they are dealing with each other, as we talked about in this call today. And then we can continue to work our way through the recommendations into an implementation plan that can hopefully be presented to Council in December. Julie, I see your hands up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just note that there is a meeting, a face-to-face meeting in Hyderabad that is on November 7th from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. And so, you know, for those who are there, that would be another opportunity for a working meeting. And what staff was planning on doing is, you know, obviously taking the changes that have been made today and incorporating them and adjusting and placing these things in batches, actually creating a batched section, really, I think, or rearranging what we have here. I think staff also, seeing the trend of the discussion here today, could look through the recommendations that, you know, that we haven't yet discussed and put in some suggestions, you know, for additional information, you know, for, you know, resources. I know Wolf Ulrich mentioned the importance of trying to get some budgetary dependencies in there. Staff have taken a stab at that, but we can do a little bit more of that, really just to try to fill in as much as possible with the batching and the dependencies, and then try to provide a draft that allows people to have some time to look at it, you know, to be able then to work through it on the 7th, in the meeting on the 7th.
That would be very helpful, Julie, and certainly, too, if people are listening to the recording or reading the transcript later, you know, please, as these documents are circulated, take the time to read them, provide comments on list, you know, for, I know I'm not able to be at the next meeting in person. I know some others may not as well, but certainly all the comments that you have can be incorporated, you know, on list and in the future calls that we have. So thank you to Julie and Marika and Terry and everyone on staff for continuing to help us move this forward. We'll have the meeting then in person, as Julie said, on the 7th, and then our next phone call will be on the 15th, and we will just continue to try to move our way through this and stay on track with our goal. I know we're at the top of the hour. If there are any final comments from anyone? Okay, with that, we'll close out this meeting, and we'll look forward to continuing our work. I thank all of you who have joined today for your comments and continued participation. So thank you, and that will bring this meeting to a close.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned.
Bye. Thanks, bye.
Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day. Bob, the operator, if you could please stop all recordings.